receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
Folks, we're off to a little bit of a slow start here this Saturday, but we're off nonetheless. This is Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. This has been a busy week for me. Almost missed the pilot seat here tonight, but I'm back with you. I hope all is well and you folks are doing good out there, surviving all this global warming stuff. Oh boy, I've been on a kick on that lately, because I do believe we're going to be discussing some pretty nasty executive orders. I have been scanning through the legislation that is pending from week to week, other things that are on deck and lined up, and there is a clear and concerted effort to shift control of land and private property, wrestle it out, at least out of the hands of private ownership, and if not completely and entirely controlled by government, at least have it in the hands of that thing I call the new Soviet. Okay, the new Soviet. That means that there's going to be a lot of agencies involved. There's going to be all kinds of do-gooders out there to help you manage the land that's in your community. There's going to be, for the collective, it's not going to be a lot about you in this discussion, but about the collective, what's good for everybody, how we can help you with your property for the collective. And that means giving up control. All right? And those that control the land, the true ownership and control of a piece of land, they are the ones that can extract the wealth, you see. That's the funny thing about the way things work here in America. That's right. That's what makes us unique, is that it is that very unique relationship that the individuals of this nation, all right, is a very unique relationship that they have that no other nation has. And, of course, that's why when you look at Agenda 21, other blathering like that, it comes out with a horrible stench of socialism and communism. Well, it's because the nations involved that were at the table in the creation of this nonsense were socialist and communist and Marxist nations, very totalitarian. They did not look at private property rights the same way that you and I do or should. All right, should. I think it's probably more accurate, because collectively in this country, people have largely dismissed the importance of this, and I don't understand why. I mean, pretty much every year when you go to your annual town meetings, your agendas are just full of the carving up of your property in town. Right? This is your individual private property that all these other do-gooders, and there's little Soviets and big Soviets, and all your local environmentalists on the Conservation Commission, all right, all your planning type, they're on your planning board. I don't know, and they come forward with these things. It's, you know, they're always proposing to make things better somehow. And what do we have right now? I drive in and through towns that I've been going through for my whole life. Right, so I've seen them in various states. I've watched buildings that were built, many different businesses in and out of them over the years. I've even seen buildings that were built, used by multiple businesses, and then just torn down and something else rebuilt again. You know, it isn't. I'm only 57 years old. It isn't like I'm 90, but you know, to see that type of turnover and change shows that nothing's really permanent. For one thing, you can't think, oh my goodness, well, this place has been developed and, it could never be anything else. Well, it can be anything you want it to be. But, what has changed so much now is how big of a footprint. And it's hard to see. When you just look, go to an online site where they have aerial footage that you can look down on the earth as if it, satellite photography, basically. And it's hard to really perceive when you look at all that forested area, all that wild land, you zoom in and you start to see little speckles of houses and such. But when you, to imagine the government footprint and how big, how that expands. That's only going one direction, you know. That is only going in one direction. So don't think that this is an issue that kind of ebbs and flows. There is a one-way flow of private property towards government control and ownership. It's not going the other way. There's not more private land ownership. I mentioned the Forest Legacy Program a couple weeks ago. You know, it sounds nice, right? You know, forest, we all like forest. Legacy, that's always conjures up imagery of you know, positive things passing down, right? Well, it's just another international nonprofit trying to control vast tracts of land that are not just in a state, not just in a single nation. I mean, this is a program that went shooting right up the East Coast and into Canada. And what do we get out of it? Like I told you, you know, every time we've given up control of these things to be managed by someone else, a stakeholder, if you will, because that's what they like to call each other in these entities who speak on our behalf rather than us speaking for ourselves, a stakeholder will look out for your environmental interest. An economic stakeholder will look out for your economic interests. But there's always someone out there to speak for you. You know, up to now, people have been pretty good with that. You know, pretty damn lazy. Good, I can stay home and not go to that meeting. A stakeholder will be there to speak for my economic interest. All right? Will you, you know, when they get through rezoning, are you going to be able to have the business that you have? You know, did you really want that swimming pool? Do you think you're going to put a second story on that that single-family house of yours? Oh, no, not with our denial of solar access bylaw that's in place. Oh, no, that second story would cast a shadow over the boundary of your neighbor's yard, and we can't have that. Might want to put a solar panel in that particular spot someday. Yep, it's happening, and you're losing it. You're losing it. I was thinking back, I was doing another piece for Catching Fire News. I contribute there. And I kind of expounded on the Daisy World project that I talked about last week. And I think it's a necessary thing that it helps us understand a little bit more, be a little more in tune with the world around us and how it works. But I connected my experience with that government project, that modeling of climate change, and I paired it up with some concrete scientific known facts about the world and how it works. You know, the wind currents. All right, there's a very unique, very, very, very interesting a set of wind patterns that exist that are driven by, you know, the spinning of the earth and the partial intermittent radiant heat from the sun. These little cyclones that exist in very geometric orientation around the world, it distributes so much energy and heat. And the same thing we find in the ocean with the ocean currents. And the government, they're trying to manipulate the albedo of the earth. And as I mentioned last week when we talked about Daisy World, that was a project, for those of you that missed it, I'm just going to summarize it really quick here right now. But it was this computer model. And there was a whole bunch of us sat down in a big computer lab, and each and every one of us had a planet to manage. It was one quarter land, three quarters water. It you know, had the same characteristics as the Earth does. You know, it spun around in 24 hours and took a full year to get around the sun. We didn't have a sun for our planet. And the only variable were there was two living things on the planet, black daisies and white daisies. And based on their albedo, which is a measure of reflectance, we had to populate our planet with a certain number, you know, certain ratio of daisies that would maintain our temperature within a livable range. Long story short, most of the people wound up either freezing or scorching their planet. You know, it didn't last long. It started to swing. There was violent swings rather than a nice, smooth wave, you know, a range. It began to get more extreme and more extreme until it exceeded tolerances and the planet went extinct. Now, they're doing the same thing now. They're manipulating the atmosphere, which is going to change the albedo, obviously, in their theory. And there is some fact to that. It will. To what extent, we don't know. But here's what we do know about sunlight and how it works here on our little planet. Is whatever's getting through is maintaining the vegetation that lives here right now. And it's everywhere. Big vegetation and very small. And by very small, I mean single celled, is called phytoplankton. It lives in the water. They're single-celled plants. And the only way they move around, they're not like other little bugs and diatoms, which are single-celled animals, which can putt around and move around in the water pretty regular and hunt for food. And their food quite often happens to be these phytoplankton. But they can actually move. These single-celled animals are capable of motility. They can move in the water column. When the photic zone, when there's not enough sunlight, because they're photosynthetic, remember? So if they're going to move, they're going to move towards sunlight. And when they need to find a greater intensity of penetrating sunlight, because you see sunlight in the water is degraded exponentially by every cubic foot. So what would happen, whether they are putting something in the atmosphere, as they've been doing for a long time, this is nothing that's new. But now you have the brainiacs out in California proposing to put bubbles and plastic bubbles and floating things in the water specifically to increase its albedo. And now you have again manipulated even to a greater extent what's going on with all those single-celled things. All the plants that live in the water, the surrounding water. So you have two layers here. And every time there's a decrease in sunlight, and it's most notable, you see it most quickly in an aquatic system, like around the edges of a lake or a pond. Anyone who's ever gone swimming in a lake or a pond, you know that you go out so far and, you know, there's, you know, you can feel the mud and the silt under your feet. You can see how far the lily pads and the weeds and the plants will grow. And once it gets deep and it starts to go down, the plant life, it starts to fade away. It's there for a while, but once you get below a certain threshold, sun becomes a limiting factor. In the water, you magnify this effect. If you can imagine a map, if you would, and look down on this map, and it shows the edges of your pond, and then going into your pond is this photic zone, this zone where plant life can be sustained. The moment you manipulate the atmosphere, that's going to decrease a little bit by some unknown amount. If they start putting crap in the water to do the same thing, those plants, again, that is going to reduce again that much more. Now add to it, what I'm trying to do is paint a picture for you so that as you look at them and tweaking one little thing, I want you to equate that excuse me, to a manipulation in a series, a ripple effect of impacts that goes throughout an entire system. So you now take these little phytoplankton things that I was just telling you about. If they are only going to react to the lack of sun, you see, what happens is when there's not enough sunlight for them to sustain themselves, they build up gases inside the cell, become more buoyant, and float up. And when they do, they get up to that point where there's enough light and they can sustain. Now, what's happened is the entire water column that used to be within the livable range for all these creatures has now just compacted itself to the very perimeters of a pond and right up near the water surface, changing the biological makeup, the water chemistry. Those gases that are now given off into the atmosphere. And I'll tell you what, once the government does something and sends more of the environment into an anaerobic state, because you see, things will decompose in the presence of oxygen and also in the absence of oxygen. One of the things that you get when you have decomposition in the absence of oxygen are things like methane and hydrogen sulfide. And if you're out there hooting and hollering about climate change and greenhouse gases, these are ones that you want to pay attention to, because they're orders of magnitude worse than CO2. So you've created more of an anaerobic environment, less plants, and in case, I don't know, I missed a memo, but plants, as far as I remember, used to absorb a lot of CO2 and then would exhale this stuff called oxygen. They would often fix nitrogen. Certain plants are nitrogen fixers, and it helps all the plant life around them. So the government's in there now, despite back in the 90s, this is like 95, 96 when I did this. And the results of what I saw with my own two eyes indicated that the government may not want to be tinkering. That, you know, here you are supposed to have some of the best minds going out there, you know, a computer lab full of college students studying this stuff. And they were driving their planets into extinction. It should have been one of many lessons to government then, but that shows. It shows, is it a legitimate, is it a viable and sincere intent to save us all by manipulating the climate? All right, that the results of that particular test said they shouldn't be doing such things. You do so at your own expense, possibly. So they must have another agenda. It must be something else. I mean, for those that are skeptics out there and haven't put all the pieces of the puzzle together yet, you know, do you really have to? And I say this in a lot of cases where, you know, you got someone who just, you know, barely starting to wake up and ask questions. And, you know, do you have to know every infinite detail of how you got screwed to know that you're getting screwed? That's it, I guess, the big question. I don't need to know every detail to know that something's horribly wrong sometimes. They just can't, you know, 2 + 2 is still 4. And when you look at the science behind what they're doing, I mean, some of it's kind of cool and what they're able to manipulate, but again, it to what end? What is a possible dual purpose for this? And rarely are they thoroughly thought out, and especially these things in the environmental realm. All right, a lot of things in economics, people that are good at math and you know, calculus and stuff, once you're able to put a formula to something in your initial inputs and your predictions and investor reactions are accurate, those models can be tightened up and, you know, they're only as good as the formulas you generate. But in science, there are so many unknowns, so many variables. At least in economics, the variables are relatively reasonable. I mean, there's always a lot of variables out there. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to oversimplify that. But in the environment, it is almost endless. This is, and it's the strength. It what lends itself to being the absolute strength. And I can't, again, imagine. It's why the, for example, the Endangered Species Act. All right, what is government's response there? When you find something that is kind of rare, you don't see that often, they rush right in and want to put a boundary around it. Let's quick identify its habitat, and we'll slap a boundary on it, and we'll make sure that it never moves from here. Well, first of all, they've altered and co-opted control of an entire area within this boundary to the benefit of one and to the detriment of all others. So their whole, you know, biodiversity baloney goes right out the window right there. But environments change. This is one of the realities that many of your modern progressive environmentalists just don't get it, is that we're going to be adults. Every once in a while, an environment's going to change just because that's what environments do. It is the strength. It is the beauty of the way things are, the way they are, is that at any point in time, there's no snapshot of this wonderful world that you could take where it's going to be exactly the same at any other point in time and space. There are so many variables, so many things that when an interference comes into play, that it is absorbed and overcome and dealt with. There's not monotypic, linear, predictable, you know, and monotypic again. I mean, without diversity, those monotypic environments are often the weakest. In here, you know, do we need to go and put a boundary around a piece of real estate and say, this here is the habitat of the worm snake? Right? Because that's one of the things we got out here. Western Mass, great big to-do. All the tree huggers are all wetting themselves over this thing called worm snake. And it likes these sandy areas sometimes along East Keene Terraces. And, you know, they went in and figured out, you know, where the few worm snakes that they found, they tried to attach labels and define their habitat. So now they can go out and superimpose those few characteristics they gathered all over the place, wherever they happen to see that few sets of conditions come together, and say, well, maybe we should protect this too. I mean, what if the environment is just simply changing to where that worm snake is not going to make it? All right, maybe there's, you know, God is creating a different environment. Maybe there's something else just as beautiful and just as miraculous that's going to come and occupy that area. Maybe that area has to change in order to lend itself to the strength of the whole area. Maybe it's not all about one thing. Maybe it's not all about you. I'm telling you now, everything that I have learned that was as part of my college experience, and even the, going on, probably more importantly, those things that I educated myself on, has made me a firm believer that the strength in our planet, our system, and everything we do in our interaction with nature.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back to it again, folks. Hey, thanks for tuning in, and as always, it is my pleasure to be hanging out and spending Saturday night with all y'all. Please do head over to republicbroadcasting.org. Make sure that's saved right in your favorites, first of all, and head on over and see what's going on. Check out the calendar. Lots of good programming going on. You can run right through all every day of the week, all weekend long, find out what's playing, what you like. Then head on over and download a few shows. You can listen live right then and there, wherever you're at work or on your smartphone. You can download them onto a thumb drive and play them in any modern portable stuff. Now I'll take thumb drives, download a few sample shows, share them around, check them out, and definitely on your way out, hit that donation button. Every little bit counts. If you can do $5 a month, that would be awesome. You know, that helps with the services and keeping things going. And as I've always said, anything that doesn't grow dies. So, the same way you'd water and fertilize your garden to keep it going, show your same appreciation here at the network, as we must keep putting the word out. We've seen And a lot of you probably following. And love him, hate him, whatever. But Alex Jones is out there, and they're making an example of him. In this process, the procedures used in this case, of course, they're going to point back to, and it is going to be precedent setting if it's allowed to stand. So realize that, all of you out there, who, whether you're content providers yourself, at any scale, it doesn't matter, because they'll always go for someone like this, because he's got name recognition. And I mean, it's everyone downstream of that. They can do it to one, they can do it to all. That's the thing about rights, is we cannot sit on our hands while others are having their rights taken away. When they're the ones under attack, we still got to be willing to defend. That's part of defending our own rights, you know. That's precisely what Lavoie Finicum did. His specific ranch wasn't under attack, per se. But he saw what was going on in a county that used to have 53 ranchers down to the last one, and they're digging their heels in and putting up a fight. Lavoie got out of his comfort zone and headed right out there. He knew he had to, everyone should have been standing to defend their rights. Because it could easily be them that's in the crosshairs the next time. So, yeah, we got to keep things rolling, keeping the news flowing, the things that are not being talked about on the mainstream media are the types of things that are talked about here. So please support us if you can. Now, yeah, back to this climate stuff. If you're a listener right now, you know that what's going on. You know the score. We've got to be much better at resisting and pushing back on this. So that was kind of the purpose of even bringing this up again. Why I committed the latest episode there for Catching Fire News to marry together how the atmosphere itself, just some of the basic technicalities of how it works in the ocean current, how it works as it can, they contribute heat and moisture into the atmosphere, but more importantly, to understand that this cycle of glaciation, of hot and cold, that is normal. That is the normal. That is what's supposed to happen. The energy is not released from the system all at once. It ebbs and flows. It happens slowly. It's very transitional. And there's an infinite number of interactions and things that occur throughout nature, throughout both the biotic and abiotic. All right, the physical parts of this world with the biological parts of this world. There's a whole infinite number of reactions that takes place. Changes in the ocean currents, because that meanders and changes as the ocean fills. Let's face it, a molecule of sand that came from the top of a granite mountain will eventually be carried by little drops of water down to a river that will, a stream that will go to a river that will go to the ocean, or into a lake or a pond. The propensity of all of these areas, these impounded areas, our favorite lakes and ponds and in the sea itself, has the propensity to fill with material. All right, a grain of sand can make its way down a mountain and eventually wind up in the ocean, but I've never seen a grain of sand that will blow out of the ocean and back up to a mountaintop. So the propensity of these to fill is automatically there, and it's going to change and alter that current. But it doesn't happen overnight. In all the systems, all the populations, the different environments, and some will go extinct. Things change. Some things, it goes outside of their livable range, outside of what's a tolerance for that species. But it is, on the other hand, it's exactly what another is looking for. And it goes in the face of monotypic environments in monotypic populations, they fail. It's precisely why farmers don't grow corn in the same field every year forever. Diversity in the always shifting environments were made to move. Government comes in, puts boundaries around them, will tax and regulate them. And they try to regulate them into being static, into being monotypic. You know, their very involvement is the antithesis of what they should be thinking. I mean, I don't know, the endangered species thing, and believe me, I think just about every creature, should be, allowed to live and let live, right? I mean, there are some areas where humans need to live, and at that point, they take precedent. However, I am not for the indiscriminate and careless killing of anything. But when it comes to something that's rare, other than pointing it out, saying, hey, I found this rare thing, most people have an appreciation for that and won't run a bulldozer over it. All right, they'll consider it an added value to their property. But government didn't make it that way. They made it so it became a detriment. It devalues your property to have these things on it now. Because government got so aggressive. And what do? When they, like I said, they regulate to, just as they're doing now with all this equity crap, the social equity, environmental equity, all of that nonsense. They're regulating to the benefit of one, to the detriment of all. It's just a human version of endangered species. It's a sick joke. I'm tired of the government solutions. And quite frankly, I'm tired of sitting around and listening to, Q and all these other entities that think that they got some miraculous plan. Oh, just sit back and relax. The good guys have got it. Trump and the white hats and, all the good guys. And, you won't believe what's coming up next. Oh, the big bombshell. But you just sit back and wait. I am so sick and tired of people just telling me just wait and it's right around the corner. Just sit back and wait. In a big debate with some folks there last week. They wanted to know who you could, it was about who you could look up to. Who is that hero that was going to, lead us in the right direction? And I kind of chimed in and I said, you know what? Many times as I go, here we are struggling and talking about securing liberty. Well, our founders did that. And I will often look back and try to extrapolate from their experience in written history what they said to each other, what they did. Okay, what they did. And extrapolate from that. There's a group of people that secured liberty. And I pointed out to those that I was having this discussion with that there were no damn heroes for them to look up to. There was no one that they could say, okay, you come on in and lead us. They had to become their own leaders. They led themselves. They took initiative themselves. They made that happen. No one came in, as a contract hire, come here and liberate our country here for us. Tell us what to do. They figured it out. And that's where we're at now. I'm telling you, if you're waiting, and just go and check the cue boards every day to find out some new puzzle to keep you busy for a few hours, only to be told, to sit back. Has Q ever said you got a role in this? They're trying to make it sound like it's all about you. But it never is. It's always about wait for the White House to do something, huh? Look at this shiny thing. You know, there's some interesting stuff that comes out in here, I'll admit. I used to track it a lot closer. Now, not so much. I just pop in once in a while. But this is one of those things that it would be the absolute perfect tool for our intelligence agencies. And let's call the shots as they are here. They are wholly and entirely corrupt. I mean, there's some good people in there amongst the, you know, general ranks that want to do the right thing for the country. However, at the higher levels, they're completely on the take. And we're back to the days of Kennedy. And he said, you know, I'm going to tear you down and cast you to the wind in 1,000 pieces. Some things are too broken to fix. And that certainly is one of them. So, what do we do now? The intelligence, they're not going to investigate any of these cases where you have Antifa, BLM, any of the other organizations. In fact, we keep on catching feds. We keep identifying feds involved. And they're not just in their eyes and ears trying to protect the Americans. They're in there agitating. Fabricating evidence. Look at what happened with this whole big war against Trump that's going on. You know, and I'm not a huge Trump fan either. But what was done using state apparatus, what was done to a valid sitting president, it was treasonous. Treasonous. And I'm not saying that to be melodramatic. I mean it in its most literal sense of the word. It was done in opposition to the best interests of this country. It was a stab in the back of America. And the judicial branch, corrupt. The administrative branch, this one's not even legitimate. The legislative branch, have you looked at what's on the docket? Do you see what's on deck? What they think is important? These new miraculous ways for them to legislate added protections for we the people in our Constitution. Utter nonsense. Go to GovTrack and take a quick look. Go and have a look at what they got up their sleeve. I told you the NDAA is rocket sledding its way through. The assault weapons ban. You see, they can't do to you what they want to do. And you be armed. Oh, no. No, those two things, they're trying to avoid that. All right, they're trying to avoid that. You know, and I myself, I don't really care what they pass. They impact, take their votes and pat each other on the back and put out press releases. And the prostitutes, they can begin chorusing too if they want. But if I've determined that all of that ranting and raving and musings that they're doing is a violation of the Constitution, I personally am going to, you know, recognize and adhere to the supreme law of the land, not the musings of despots. You can pass things like assault weapons ban, you know, and can try to convince enough people in your little Congress that, you know, there is such a thing as an assault weapon and an AR-15 is it. But I really hope that you wind up staring straight into the face of complete and utter non-compliance. That's what I hope. I've been reflecting back down in Connecticut a number of years ago. They were pushing for gun registrations and trying to get people to come in and register and hand in their unregistered guns. And almost nobody went. And they just kind of quietly backed off. I mean, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to, you know, try to whittle away, I guess. I mean, that's predictable. They may try to go in and, you know, one at a time, take down as many loudmouths like myself and others as they can, make an example out of them, one at a time. But there are too many millions of firearms in this country. And I highly encourage all of you to follow the supreme law of the land. I will never recommend that you break the law. But that's number one. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, so we can all start by obeying that, all of us, across the board, in government and outside of government. That is the guidebook for government. So let's just recognize that. And if there are laws that are, you know, in lockstep with that, that are consistent with the provisions of the Constitution, well, I say that we should recognize those common sense laws, too. Not all laws are bad, right? I mean, it would be a colossal pain in the ass. Imagine if there were 527 different types of threads for nuts and bolts and screws and things like that. Imagine that. But no, reasonable people got together, created reasonable laws and standards for the good of all of us. Some laws are fine, but those that are gun control, you know, right out of the gate for most of you, you know, this should be an easy one. All right, I mean, is this an infringement or not? I don't know how you can create some new legislation that'll, you know, make it easier for me to be able to exercise my Second Amendment right. And at this point, the only legislation they could put in that would do that is things to completely strike and rescind all gun control that they got on the books right now. but yeah. We have got to start living up to those same standards that we want our elected officials to. We want them to recognize the Second Amendment, right? Sure we do. Well, we must recognize the Second Amendment. Just because they say, okay, assault weapons ban, does not mean that you get to ignore the Second Amendment. They're the ones in trouble. Okay, for two reasons. One, they're the ones that violated the Constitution. And two, you're the one with the gun. Okay? So relax. Do what's right. You can't regulate for crazy, so don't think any amount of gun control out there is going to do away with gun violence. We've seen it over and over again. Registration and gobs of paperwork, does that matter? No, because you can go back over time and you can take a look at what, you know, was a gun legally purchased or was it illegally used? And you see both cases. Some people jump through all their hoops. Legally buy the gun and then go completely batshit crazy and hurt people. It doesn't mean just add more hoops to jump through. Pretty soon, you know, there's going to be too many hoops and they're just going to go on to the list of those that just steal it. Doesn't matter whether they crawl through their neighbor's window or pop the trunk of a cruiser. It doesn't matter. They'll steal it. Crazy people will do what crazy people will do. But an armed society is a polite one. And also a well-armed society, you don't have a lot of big mass killings. In fact, the last mass shooting that took place, it was a 22-year-old there carrying a sidearm and inside of a 15-second period, all right, not going on for minutes and minutes like you down in Uvalde, Texas. And that was going on for who knows how long. firing and firing and firing and firing, okay? Because all the cops were over there putting hand sanitizer on and hanging out and chit-chatting outside under the shade tree. And firing and firing and firing. Well, this other guy at the mall, there was a couple shots rang out. He pulled out his sidearm, and then I think it was 8 out of 10 shots he put into the guy. Dispatched him right there, stopped the killing. You know, this really, literally could be the end of mass shootings, or as close as you're ever going to get to it. When you actually make it okay for every stinking person in the mall, every person in the movie theater, every person walking through the fairgrounds and down the streets. As soon as one goes nuts and starts randomly harming people, there is someone not more than a step or two away to put an end to it. You would stop hearing about 20, 30, 40, 50 people dying. That would be the end of it. So we know it's not about that. All the numbers, all the science, if you care about those things, all indicate that the gun control policy is the exact opposite direction they should be going. All right, if you do what the progressives want, all right, I'm begging you, please punish progressives in the next two election cycles thoroughly and totally. Not one. There are some that are just guilty communists that hate their country and should be removed from government as swiftly as possible. They need to be punished at the polls. And those other Democrats that sat there. At this point, I mean, I've been trying to give you some wiggle room, and I'm still leaving a little wiggle room for you to do the right thing, but you got to do the right damn thing. And putting your hat in the ring right now to run and further that party is the last damn thing you should be doing, and punish all of them. Not one single Democrat should be elected to any seat, not even a friggin' dog catcher. Not one. Because I'll tell you, if you were to institute their gun control policies right now, and do away with, I mean, some of these people came right out and said, no more guns, period. They believe in disarming the American people. Not even special permits or anything like that. You're either one of their law enforcement thugs or you're not. And no guns for you. They want it. It's coming. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Got a quick break coming up, and we'll be right back to it at the top of the hour. Hang in there, and we'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.